Is it constitutional to sentence juveniles to life in prison without the possibility of parole, even if they're convicted of murder? Well, that's the question now before the U.S. Supreme Court, which is expected to issue its answer this summer. The High Court has already banned life without parole sentences for juveniles convicted of crimes other than murder, and it defined juveniles as those under the age of 18. If it does the same this time, the ruling could affect more than 2,000 inmates. One of them is 37-year-old Joe Donovan. He's been at a state prison in Shirley, Massachusetts for a long time.
20 years. This September would be 20. You know, I can't remember the streets as much as, you know, I have remember some of it, but, you know, my whole adult life is in prison, you know. So,
when he was 17, Donovan was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the murder of Yngwie Raustein. We met Donovan at MCI Shirley to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court reviewing the constitutionality of juvenile sentences just like his. Dressed in jeans and a dark blue button-down, Donovan is articulate, and he smiles easily. But he says he's not quite ready to believe that he might be released anytime soon.
It makes me hopeful. I believe that they're going to rule with some sort of middle ground. What they may say is, if you did not participate in the murder, did not help with the murder, did not actually kill anyone, you shouldn't be put in prison for the rest of your life without at least a chance for a hearing at some point in the future.
Although Donovan was at the scene of Raustein's murder, he was not the killer. That was 15-year-old Sean McHugh.
They charged him as a juvenile. They charged me as an adult automatically in Massachusetts. They don't even have a hearing. They have a hearing for him to see if he could be rehabilitated. They said that he can be rehabilitated. Because I was 17, I don't get that hearing. There's no hearing to see if I can be rehabilitated.
Donovan says he constantly relives the night in September of 1992 when, as he tells it, he was walking with McHugh and another teen near MIT where Raustein was a student. Donovan's group walked by Raustein and a friend, and the two groups got into a scuffle. Donovan punched Raustein, and as Raustein was on the ground, McHugh stabbed Raustein. Then the boys took off.
You know, I just run quick as I can. And we get over into Boston. And we're not thinking that it's anything more than an assault. And we're not hiding. You know, we're just walking around right over the bridge. It's less than a mile away. I go in an alleyway, relieve myself, come back. When I come back, Sean's wiping blood off a knife. Now, I'm not thinking that he stabbed the kid back there. Right? Because, you know, you would think you'd say that, right? Or I would have seen it. And I'm thinking he must have just stabbed somebody when I was gone, right? And I'm like, what happened, right? And he's wiping the blood off the knife and he says, you know, I stabbed that kid. Like, why'd you do that? He's saying, like, you know, I wanted to know what it was like to kill somebody or something to that effect. Right about that point, the paddy wagons come down the street. Right over here, and some cop cars come here, and they kind of just surrounded everybody, come quick, and that was it. We all got arrested.
So 3 weeks after his 17th birthday, Donovan was sent to adult prison to await trial. In exchange for leniency, the third defendant, Alfredo Velez, cut a deal and pleaded guilty. Donovan refused.
Later on, they had offered me, you know, deals or whatever, but they were always plead guilty to a murder or something like that. And I don't think I did murder. I find it hard to plead guilty to something I didn't do.
Donovan says he never knew about an intent to rob or harm anyone. But he was convicted under what's known as the joint venture doctrine, which holds all suspects equally guilty when a felony is committed.
It's a very complicated form of law. It's very strange and don't really make much sense. As a child, I didn't ever think that would have anything to do with me, like how I could be responsible for the bad acts of someone else, you know? And we're here now, you know?
And they're out.
Oh, yes, they all got out. Myself, I ended up getting a natural life sentence. The jury didn't realize they were giving me the time they were giving me, right, when they got interviewed later. The judge doesn't think I should have got the time I got, you know? He's trying to get me released.
Retired Judge Robert Barton is among those saying that Donovan should be released, especially since Sean McHugh was released in 2003. But even more surprising, Raustein's family says Donovan has served his time.
One day, you know, I just decided that, you know, I should write him and at least express, and I made it known in the letter that, you know, I'm really not looking for this for myself. I'm just saying, I just wanted to let them know how bad I felt about the whole situation and how stupid I was. I didn't realize that I, you know, was walking around with dynamite on me. I didn't realize Sean's intent here, you know, his volatile nature. They're very gracious people. They end up accepting the letter and saying, you know, we forgive you and we support your release.
What about the folks who say, regardless of what the victim's family has said in this case, a life was lost, and that's a permanent thing? And should it be a permanent thing for you as well?
Well, the life has been lost, and it was a permanent thing. I don't want to seem that I'm trying to shirk responsibility, but I've done the least in the crime, and I got the most sentence, right? Regardless of that, I don't know if you can really consider a juvenile to be totally responsible for everything that happens, all consequences of an event.
That's the thrust of the question now before the U.S. Supreme Court, the criminal culpability of juveniles. Donovan says he's a much different person now than when he came into prison 20 years ago. He says he's no longer so quick to anger, and he's discovered the artistic abilities that allow him to draw elaborate pictures that his supporters sell online. The only time Donovan's smile fades is when he talks about missing his family.
What sort of haunts you? What's the hardest thing about being here?
The hardest thing, hands down, about being here is the pain I caused my family. Hardest thing. You know, just the pain that, like, you know, they have to come up here and be subject to this. They have to leave me here every time they come up and visit me. They have to hear me all the time. It's really a slow death. It's like their son is having a slow death, and they have to deal with that. So sort of like the death penalty, only it's by increments.
That's Joe Donovan, who is 20 years into a life without parole sentence in Massachusetts. Things could change for him when the U.S. Supreme Court issues its ruling next month. We'll be back in a minute with America's oldest seed company in financial trouble. It's Here and Now.